Good morning and welcome to the Could Have Been Champions on this Saturday morning. I'm Ian Cover, coming off the interchange bench for Richo, who's not with us this morning. Good morning, Greg Champion.
Good morning, everybody. Pleased to see you.
You mean that? I can tell.
Just something you say when you start a show.
Torchy McGee live, direct from the MCG.
Yes, good morning to you, Cove, and good morning to everyone out there. And the voice is a bit croaky.
Have you been barracking?
I was doing a bit of barracking. In fact, I'm Cocko Hoop.
All right, very good. Mm-hmm. Billy Baxter, good morning.
Good morning, Boss Cover. Good morning, colleagues. Good morning, listeners. And Richo's gone to get the Tigers a Mason Cox.
Oh. Well, what about last Saturday night, though? They didn't need Mason Cox. They had a Sam Lloyd.
Yeah, don't want to talk
I was
about
walking
it.
Through town, and the footballer just let out. And I was looking at the Swan supporters and thinking, geez, why are they looking so glum? They couldn't have lost. And then I turned on the wireless and heard the whole schmear.
That's a big mistake, walking through town on a Saturday night, Bill. Haven't you grown out of that?
Well, I walk in the shadows.
Do you?
Yes. I do most of my best work in the shadows.
You were looking for a spot under a fence.
You weren't many a bloke from one turn away.
I was on my way to Murray Road.
Did
you go last Saturday night as well, Torchy?
No, because I was interstate last Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
And I watched the first quarter before I had to go out for a dinner date. And I thought, oh, well, this looks okay. We've got them under control. Little did I know.
So you thought.
Yes.
Yeah, better last night, though.
Very good. First quarter was outstanding. And the second quarter, even though it wasn't a high-scoring match.
So at what point did you start barracking and damage your voice?
Well, I was getting a bit worried in the third quarter when, because you knew Hawthorn were going to come back.
Did you?
You always do.
Hawthorn never lead. No. They always let you lead, and then they come back.
They didn't come back against Geelong, did they, in round one?
Yes, they did, third quarter. Yeah.
Well, they still lost by six.
My partner, who I was with, informs me that the Swans have just about lost every third quarter this season.
Have they?
Very good at third quarter.
Well, was that point made to you at half time, and you start to really get worried?
That's right. But then, in the last quarter, they put the pedal to the metal and got over the line, which was very good.
Well, just as well you're at the game, Torch, because I want to give you 20 seconds to SFT.
Well, hang on, just before you do, don't say just as well you're at the game. He actually goes to
the game. And I don't leave early either.
It was lucky to be at the game last night because sensible football talk.
Yeah, the clock starts now, 30 seconds.
There were way too many occasions last night where we had stupid slow motion replays while the game was going on.
Champs doesn't
17 seconds.
Champs doesn't watch the game. He watches the direction of the TV coverage.
I want to watch the game.
Well, the most critical was when. Was it McGlynn who gave the handball to Buddy? They were still replaying the mark, which wasn't actually mark of the year.
Dumb replays against live action.
There goes Champion's appearance at the grand final.
Bring back Alf Potter.
25 seconds.
It's on seven.
One camera on the wing, no replays.
I don't think anybody else in the competition could have kicked that long goal that Buddy kicked.
I reckon there'd be dozens of blokes here.
Well, there's a couple going around.
Under that sort of pressure.
But I'm tipping, at the game from time to time, when someone does take a mark there and they're lining up for a shot, you start talking to the person next to you, and you at the ground missed the handball being given. Were you paying attention,
yes,
Torch?
Yes, we were. I was, very much so.
What about the one he kicked from the middle?
That must have gone about 80 metres.
It was inside the centre square.
Yeah.
Magnificent kick.
Nice to see on the Swans banner. We're behind you, Ruffy.
I think we all are behind Ruffy.
Yes, absolutely. Very much so.
One of football's universally good blokes, loved by everyone, and terrific to see him there last night. Well, you were there, and I'd forgotten there'd been talk during the week that the fans were being asked to applaud at the two-minute mark of the second quarter because he wears number two.
Is that what happened?
And I'd forgotten about it, and then all of a sudden this applause started, and you were there. It grew. It started as like a ripple running up the beach and then turned into a wave.
I did, and I didn't know what it was about either because I hadn't read the press, so it was a bit of a surprise.
What was the intent of having applause at the two-minute mark?
Two-minute mark of the second quarter, he wears number two.
Number two, show of support.
I think it's...
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit
like the test match in Adelaide where the crowd started applauding when the score reached 63, which was the last score that Philip Hughes made. Mm, okay. So it was terrific.
Those organised things are very melancholy, and they're wonderful, but I like the more spontaneous shows of approval, like when the president of the AFL would stand up to speak at the grand final.
And everyone would boo. Yeah.
There was
that
one,
was better.
No one rang the radio during the week and said, listen, when the president appears on Saturday, can you boo?
Those were the days.
So, anyway, and you don't play there again, do you, this year?
Torchy? No, we only got one more game in Melbourne, which is against the Saints down at Docklands. And the game against North is in Hobart, so I might have to go back to Hobart.
Ooh. The Cats are there today.
Yeah. At the MCG. Yeah. You'll be coming, Billy?
Oh, look, if I could, I would.
He's coming to my place too. We're baking a cake.
making a passion fruit sponge.
I have to report to my parole officer who's down on the peninsula.
All right. Well, good luck with that. Well, the Pies, they had a win last week.
Yes,
is that why you're going? You're a bit worried now or something?
Oh, I'm always worried about Collingwood. You never know what you've got.
Oh, yeah, you do.
You don't know who's going to turn up and play.
Well, it won't be Travis.
I've got a fair idea. Well, that'll be the topic of Songs today. Trav and replays that we don't want.
Where's your mob playing this week?
We've got the Gold Coast at 2 o'clock.
Up at Carrara.
At Carrara?
Yeah.
Are you going?
Danger game. Yeah, hopping on a plane.
Well, Andy did. And see what happened? He made the effort. And what happened? Melbourne won.
Okay. They won for him.
Right. Yeah, if you actually made the effort.
Yeah. I'm not going because I don't have a deer stalker.
Or a hunting stick.
Or a hunting stick.
I'm getting my deer stalker and hunting stick on because I'm going to go down to the G to watch the Cats tonight.
Will you be in the members?
Well, you're a good Cats man.
I'll be at the ground somewhere having a look.
I saw Travis playing in the VFL a little bit on the news. He seems to have a lot of condition on. Mm-hmm. Or is that just my imagination?
I don't know. I haven't seen him lately.
No. Trav?
He played down at Geelong last week for Collingwood in the VFL.
He's just beautifully built. He's just a fine specimen.
Right. He looked heavy for mine.
No. All right, he's heavy then. To add to his woes.
So, Torchy?
Yeah.
So you only watched a quarter last week. Did you get to see any other football on the weekend?
No. I was
having
a very nice time in Hobart, eating out.
Oh.
Yes. Oh. And doing a few day trips.
And Carlton had a nice win. The boy kicked the ball late in the game. Yes. A bit of excitement with that. So, and then
I predicted
and Hobart
that.
Produced the Carlton coach.
He did. Yeah. He's from Clarence.
Who suddenly everybody's favourite bloke.
No, I didn't pay.
He's very impressive.
So they say.
I didn't pay a visit to Bellerive, where Clarence play.
Well, he played there at one stage, or coached there, I think, at Clarence, at North Hobart.
Yeah.
And as I said last week in the quiz, at North Launceston, who became the Northern Bombers. They were the Robins before that.
There's a few teams down there I'd never heard of. Lauderdale's a new team, and they're called the Bombers as well.
Have they got a fort?
They should have.
They got a fortress. Yes.
And there's the Tigers, and I'm not sure, I think they might be. Are they the old North Hobart Tigers?
Yeah. Yeah, that's so a clarification
teams,
on that.
Yeah, and a couple of teams I don't know much about.
Well, you probably know more about them than Greg, anyway. Coming up on the show today, might have noticed, as always, we have our Country 47. We're talking to Gary Jones, the coach of Woodside Wildcats in the North Gippsland Football League, and they're playing Hayfield today. There was some publicity during the course of the week in the original Little Paper. Just highlighting the fact that in that segment, we've interviewed 8 people related to country football and their teams have all been beaten. Gary Jones was reluctant to come on, but he is going to talk to us and hopefully break the duck.
Yes.
Just to get Torchy excited, John Roberts.
Yeah, Johnny Roberts. What a great footballer.
Kicked a goal for for South way back in 1980 to win a game. Bit like Sam Lloyd.
Yes.
And then also we'll be talking to Taylor Harris, who's the one of our favourites here at the Coulda-beens. She's going to be among the first women playing in the new comp, and I think she's got a major role to play up in Queensland. And Brian Dixon will be our trailblazer today. Did you ever?
No, he was finished before I started playing.
Was he?
Yeah.
That makes him very old.
he had other fish to fry.
So look forward to that. And Champy, there's been some sort of record number of songs coming in.
Yes, and new blood. Now we just like to keep playing the old players over and over again.
No, not now.
But There is a lot of new contributions. Yeah, we are breaking PBs at the moment for numbers and new contributions.
You've got a bit of churn.
So there's stuff to go through.
Got to turn the list over.
For example, yeah. Cove, because some of these will have to get a brief mention. I like Aeroplane Jelly.
Yes.
From Kath Feehan. I like Young Bontempelli. Oh, there we go. That's
that
one.
Righto. That's coming up soon. But right now, we might pose our social media question for this week. And Champy did bring to attention, in case you missed it, there was a player lining up for goal last night. Whilst on the TV, they were showing us a replay of his garden variety mark.
I was wondering how you could work this into the tweet.
Yeah. And so you didn't necessarily. I think the ball was already well in flight when we went back to live action.
Which just really gets up your goat.
And occasionally at the game, you could do that yourself. You might be talking or looking at the record. Or...
Well, there's usually a TV set somewhere nearby, too, if you want to really watch the replay.
So, in the spirit of missing that goal last night because of the replay happening, what other sporting events have you missed?
By looking away.
Or for whatever reason. You know, you might have actually gone to get a. Yeah. A pie or chips at the time or whatever.
Or couldn't get there because something happened.
Or because the TV or the radio, well, there's one famous one that the ABC, I think, is famous
Greg,
for.
Greg Chapel.
The Greg Chapel century on Deboo.
Yeah, went to the weather.
Do we have the news or just the weather?
I think it was the weather.
It was coming from Perth.
Yeah, that's right.
And he was on 98 or whatever on the ABC TV.
I don't want to give people any ideas, but a lot of people who have been to the cricket for the first time say nothing happened. Oh, but there was a wicket just fell. Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, I missed that. You got one wicket for the day you missed it. Yeah. So tell us what you missed and for whatever reason. And, of course, you go to @CouldhaBeens. That's the Twitter handle, @CouldhaBeens. Mm. Or the Facebook way is through the 774 Melbourne Facebook page. 774 Melbourne is the Facebook one for that. So go to it and Andy will... give us a rundown on them after we've had the break at the half-time to go in for the fizzy drink.
Yep.
So, Champy, get your guitar ready.
Yeah.
And I can tell you also that North Hobart were the Demons. It was on my mind that they might have been the Demons. Yep. They're now known as the Hobart City Demons. So they've been North Hobart now. They've annexed the entire city of Hobart.
Well, tweet, as Kirby says, what you missed sporting event and why. Mm. And I thought we'd got rid of most things we don't like about footy, and we have, but there's just one to go, and that's what they're doing with the cameras.
Mm. All right. Cut it out. Well, look, if they're listening down there.
And we've got some good friends at Seven Sport.
Well, they might say, look, you know, you can be director for a day. Get you in the van and get you to press the button.
I once had one of the head engineers at Seven Sport call me and say, why don't you like the golden muffler?
That's a long time. Well, we got rid of that.
We got rid of it, but it took us, the 90s.
Yes. So can the Rules Committee do something about that?
Well,
Kevin Bartlett stop the replay?
It was interesting that there's been a lot of talk that week too about the countdown clock.
Yes.
And they're going to consult with the fans before doing anything.
They've got a resolution.
Does anyone actually get...
Haven't had a call.
Are there any fans listening that actually got consulted? Huh?
Well, they've made a decision.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've made a decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, someone actually...
It sounds like a sensible one.
Someone actually did do it. I was looking at our social media last Saturday night when I was watching the Richmond-Sydney game and someone did... send a message on the Twitter thing that Sam Lloyd kick after the siren to win the game was almost as exciting as the Mason Wood one the week before, which was one week waiting for the clock to come down. Couldn't beat the excitement of that.
No.
Well, we'll deal with Mason during the show as well.
Right, yeah, exactly right. Get your guitar ready, Champy.
I'm ready.
Back after this with Champy.
Let's go.
You're back with the Could Have Been Champions on 774 ABC Melbourne and ABC Victoria.
Quite right there, Unc. You are indeed. And Champy is ready to entertain us with, well, I use the term lightly.
Yeah.
Champy's going to do some songs.
Well, here's a new contributor.
Yes.
Simone Smiley or Simone, double M though. Simone Smiley or Simone.
Mm-hmm.
Gave us one line. That's how we like him a lot.
Yep.
She said her line was, "Fly high, you American guy."
That's all you need.
Mm. So were you able to do something with that?
I've extrapolated on that.
Right.
To use a big word. Boys, straight in on the chorus, singers.
Thank you.
No. What key do I want?
Give me a key and I'll sing in any flat.
Thank you, Billy.
Go and get a cup of tea now, listen.
Right. Just. So fly high, you American guy. Brought up eating Hershey's bars and mum's apple pie. Grew up in Tehachapi in California. How'd you get to be a magpie? Leave that line, we'll come back to that. I went down to the secret ground to watch the Maggies going round when some big monster caught my eye. They said he'd come from USA, and yet it looked like he could play while towering over midgets half his size. Don't know if he barracks for Obama or that Buffett clown. He's safer here, that's for sure. We don't have cowboy gun laws, so take a grab, our Aussie mate. Hailing from the Texas state, in Dallas they will celebrate. Fly high, you Yankee guy. So fly high, you American guy. Brought up eating Hershey's bars and mum's apple pie. Grew up in Tehachapi in California. Singing, how'd you get to be a magpie? Oh, fly high, you American guy. There we go.
Thank you.
Because we'd like to avoid American pie in ditties. It's been rather lent on over the years.
Have you lent on it at all?
Yeah, enough, plenty. I remember once going the day Mick Malthouse smiled.
All right.
So it's had a good run.
I've managed to erase it from my memory bank.
Yeah, as you would. Look.
In all forms.
It's a Bogan classic. When we used to compile songs, most requested songs to a solo singer, solo pub singer in 1984, American Pie was number one. That you would avoid doing. Even more, I think, was Chisel around then in 84? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, look, here's a little experiment, lads. People, we have set Cove, the listeners, the challenge of coming up with a song to it's not how you win, it's the way you go about it.
Oh, yes.
So we had a number of contributions, and we thank, on that score, we thank the Peter Tresseters, the John Oakes, your Richard Evanses, your Peter Sims, your Noel Dennisons, your Patty from Reservoir.
Well, they all had a go at it.
Your Jane Harrises, your Doug Longs, and your David Bloms. Well, they had a go at everything, so time we acknowledged them.
That sounds like the senior list there.
Right. Now, I didn't realise Bananarama did with Fun Boy 3. It ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it.
Oh, yes, I remember it well.
Andy, do you think you can get your head around this tune? Because it's very 40s come 80s.
Yes.
You can do it like this. Well, it's not what you win, it's how you go about it. Not what you win by, it's how you go about it. It's not what you win by, it's how you go about it. Well, I'll just take the win. Try that now. It's not what you win by, it's how you go about it. It's not what you win by, it's how you go about it. It's not what you win by, it's how you go about it. Well, I'll just take the win. And it's not how many you get, it's where you get them. Not how many you get, it's where you get them. It's not how many you get, it's where you get them. I'll take them anywhere. Try that now. Well, it's not how many you get, it's where you get them. It's not how many you get, it's where you get them. It's not how many you get, it's where you get them. I'll take them anywhere. Other bit. Well, it's not what you win by, it's how you go about it. It's not what you win by, it's how you go about it. It's not what you win by, it's how you go about it. Well, I'll just take the win.
One more time. Well,
it's not what you win by, it's how you go about it. It's not what you win by, it's how you go about it. It's not what you win by, it's how you go about it. Well, I'll just take the win.
Well,
that.
Thank goodness it stopped before Billy got his version of the mouth trumpet happening.
Oh, just winding up, well, Cove.
Anyway.
Well, I had to watch Bananarama and Fun Boy 3.
Oh, did you have to watch it?
Doing that. Well, I had to sort of reacquire the... Because I changed the chords on it, but...
it's just a bit of fun, that Fun Boy 3 Bananarama thing.
Because the Fun Boy 3 bloke, you know, you've got two black guys and the white fella's got to look really sort of dark and bored. Well, even with the Bananarama's prancing around him, he's still trying to look dark and bored. It was quite interesting chemistry. It looks like a British Countdown it was on. Now, Andrew Ryan is another new contributor.
Hello, Andrew.
And Andrew kicks a goal because he's chosen a Dylan song that we Dylan fans can all relate to. Yeah. Richo, not being here, would have loved this, I'm sure. Down on Swan Street Monday morning, Nathan meets with Ed. Something big has got to give, they're calling for our heads. They look straight at each other, sensing their mortality. Tough decisions must be made, and they sip their cups of tea. Nathan knows the time has come, the Trav must pay his dues. Something desperate must be done, Lord knows he's had his shoes kicking true. Travis to the two. In the burbs at Montmorency, fans at Breaking Point. If the Maggies don't win soon, they're gonna trash the joint. Daisy Heathshore, Harry gone, Swanee's been laid low. Jamie Elliott, Molly Williams, well, how low can you go? Goldsack Reed and Langdon too, all out into their pain. And even now, Jesse White's still not getting a game. Plus, you know who? Travis in the two. Meanwhile in the VFL, Travis clunks a mark. Slop this from the square and it could reignite the spark, but it don't go through. Travis to the blues. Rudy doody doo. And of course, Billy, that's a rework of
Tangled Up in Blue.
Who wrote the lyrics for that?
Well,
it's just a week.
Andrew Ryan gave us the idea.
Does he know that Travis might be heading to the Blues?
No, I think Travis was just having
He's putting it out there?
Oh, Andrew. Andrew was just telling you.
And you could have worked Montague Street into that, too.
Look, here's another risk. This is the song is Paint It Black, Billy and Andy and Torch, but as a result of what we saw on the TV last night, vis-a-vis the telecast, let's see if we can sing this together and see how we go with it, like this. I'll do that again. That was the warm-up. I see a footy match, it's on my TV screen. I see so many replays that I want to scream. I don't need four replays of someone's injury. There is a game in progress that I'd like to see. I see behind the goal shots, but something is missing. What's wrong with the central commentary position? If they want to know how to show it sensibly, they need to look no further than the 70s. That's a brief version of...
That was good. I couldn't find it in there, Champy, so let you fly solo there, brother.
That's all right. And just to conclude the segment of the songs and plenty more contributions in our second hour, I met the bus driver on the recent Outback tour that I did is a Collingwood fanatic from Mill Park. and he played right into the demographic of the people we sometimes satirise.
Yeah.
So,
Collingwood fan from?
Middle Park.
I thought you said Middle Park.
No.
I thought, hang on a minute, no. I just got to...
How many Pie fans in Middle Park?
That's what I was going to say.
One or two.
They'd all be down bank for the Swannies, wouldn't they?
You didn't understand it, Ian, because poor old Champy was trying to make Mill.
Mill.
From Mill. Mill.
And he does come from Adelaide.
Yeah. Oh, I said Mill Park.
Mill Park.
Right. Okay. He's from Mill Park, which of course is in the general Epping...
In the South Morang area.
Collingwood catchment area.
So a few bars of this, boys. In the Craigie Burn cars and the Broad Meadows bars, people are tuned to the tranny. Travis Cloak is lining up a shot. In the burbs there are nervous grannies queuing for fags at Campbellfield Coles. People out there hoping Trav can kick a goal. At Greensboro Bakery buying sausage rolls.
People out there hoping Trav can kick a goal.
Over at Bundoora, a 10-pin bowl.
People out there hoping Trav can kick a goal.
Queuing for UDLs at Thomastown Coles.
People out there hoping Trav can kick a goal.
Kick a goal,
kick a goal.
Come on, Trav, you can do it, mate. A Rudy Doody. And more songs to come.
Beautifully done. And if someone wants to send you a song, how do they go about it?
Go to couldhavebeens.com.au. That's pretty simple. Could have beens is spelt phonetically. Just Google it up. Mm. And then you'll find the email address on the front page of that website.
Right. And you've sort of deleted a few things to make space because that inbox must be getting very full out at your joint.
It's certainly a labour of love to reply to everyone, and we do it.
Good. Beautifully done.
With passion.
Now, we did mention that it's time, country footy segment's coming up, it's time for it. We did mention that so far we are yet to get a representative of a club to break their duck. Can Woodside Wildcats in the North Gippsland Football League do it today? Let's ask the coach, Gary Jones. Good morning, Jonesy.
How you going, boys?
You are a Jonesy?
I'm a few names. I'm a Jonesy, I'm a Cuz, plenty of other names too.
Gazza?
Gazza, yeah, that's one.
Who the Wildcats got today?
Hayfield.
Right, now you're playing at home?
Yeah, we are.
Right, everyone we've spoken to in this segment has been playing at home, so that should be a start.
Yeah, I've seen everyone cursed, so I got the phone call earlier in the week and I didn't realise it was a curse. I probably wouldn't have taken the call.
So, are you a playing coach, Gaz?
Yeah, that's right.
Right, now I'm tipping you, what do you either playing coaches either play in the middle or at full forward.
No, I don't have that luxury of full forward. We've got a pretty good full forward, so he pushes me out of there. But I've played a bit around everywhere, so a bit forward, a bit back, a bit mid, depending sort of how our lineup is.
Oh, the modern flexible player.
Oh, yeah.
How's your win-loss this year?
Yeah, we're 5-2 at the moment, so we go along not too bad.
And Hayfield, how are they doing?
Yeah, they're 4-3, so they're just starting to hit a bit of form. So it's a bit of a big game for both teams.
Right.
Righto. And now what about last year?
Yeah, not so good. We only won 4 games for the year.
Right. So what's turned things around for you in the early part of this season?
Oh, we had to recruit pretty well to get the quality into the team, and we've been able to do that. So that's been a big plus for us. And also with our kids from last year, we had a really good thirds team, and we've got a few of them come up, and we've just taken the pressure off them coming up with the recruits we've got in. So that's made a big difference.
And you said you've got a fairly good full forward. Do you pop it right onto his chest in the square, do you? Or is he nimble? Or country football full forwards are generally a big bloke who doesn't like to run too much.
No, he's the opposite. He's very nimble. He's got a really good leap on him, a good set of hands. So you probably don't use him as much this year in previous seasons, but... Probably just because we've got more spread of goal kickers, so it is an advantage for us. But he is a good player.
What's his name?
Bag on a day.
Yeah, give
Ryan
us a name.
Ryan Foat.
Ryan?
Yep.
Surname?
Foat. F-O-A-T.
Foaty.
Foatster.
Kick it to Foaty.
Yeah, that's it.
Foaty floats the boat. Now, Woodside Wildcats, now, is that something that's arisen out of the old Wanron Woodside?
Yeah, well, see, the club's it's a reformed club, about 8 years have been on their own.
Yep.
This is my only first year there, so, but yeah, they originally were Wanron Woodside, and then they merged with the Allies, or the Devon Wanron Woodside Welsh Pool.
Yep.
And then, yeah, about 8 years ago, the club decided to go on their own and go into the North Gippy because it was easy to keep players in that just locally.
Mm-hmm.
With that, because the Alberton League goes all the way down to Phillip Island. Yeah, and it's a bit of a travel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. And so what's your ground like? Is it a picturesque ground down there?
Yeah, it's a very nice ground, actually. It's they say when the weather's good like it is today, it's a very good ground. Once it gets a bit foggy and the rain comes in, it's not the best. But they've got a nice little hill there to sit on the cars along, and, yeah, it's good to watch. So
you get a bit of wind off Bass Strait?
Yeah, well, we're only about 10 km from the beach, so it does get a bit windy, but we've got a few trees there which sort of stops a little bit of it, but it's not like playing at Williamstown or anything like that.
Had you coached prior to taking the reins of Woodside this year, Gaz?
I've coached in the past, yeah. I did a couple of years at my junior club, Lucknow, a few years ago. So
oh, yeah.
That was 2013, 2014, I coached the seniors there.
Mm-hmm. And now, are you at the ground?
No, I'm just at home. We're just about to head off soon.
Oh, because I was going to try the car horn test. We haven't tried that for a few weeks. But
yeah, I was talking to a couple of the older boys, and they said you do the car horn test. So
must be pretty windy in your house, Gary, because it sounds like the wind's up.
We thought you were at the ground by the noise in the phone.
No, I live at Longford, and it's a bit windy here all the time. So.
All right. And what's your game plan? How do you like the boys to play?
We're probably really focused this year on just our ball movement and our skills.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably one thing. We've got a team that we think if we move the ball well, we can open up teams. We're not a tall team, so we can't really afford to just, you know, kick down the line to the talls and let them mark it. So that's one area we really work on.
Well, you've got to control the tempo, don't you?
Mm.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, but well, the more importantly, what's the canteen like?
Yeah.
Oh, I like the healthy food out of there, but I have heard it's pretty good.
Now, when you were describing the ground there and how picturesque it was, I actually ventured to the country last week. I went down to Elvey Football Club, Elvey Swans, down the Colac District League.
Oh, yeah.
And they've got hills sort of on the other side of the ground with cows roaming around them.
Oh.
And the ground slopes from one end to the other.
Nice.
I think someone was trying to tell me that the behind post at the lower end is about what the ground level is at the other end. So it's a fair slope.
Ours isn't that bad, but if you go to the ODFL, Swiss Creek got something similar to that too, where their standard of ground's pretty low compared to the goalpost.
Yeah, and we've been to Gordon up near Ballarat, and that one slopes across the ground, doesn't
it? Yeah, it
does. Wing to wing. Anyway.
Do the girls play the netball at the ground too? Is it all the one facility, Gary?
Yeah, it is. It's all one, like country footy. So we've got, I think, A, B, C, 17s and L, C and D grade, I think. I'm not 100% sure the lower grades, but yeah, it's good for the community and the club.
Mm-hmm. And what's your jumper?
Wear Geelong.
Oh, well, there you go. Oh. That's an omen in itself.
And Hayfield?
They're the Kangaroos.
The top of the table clash.
They might have to wear it for the clash.
Yeah, well, actually, today we've got the Footprint Foundations game, so we actually been the home team wear pink tops.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's just in regards to cancer people with helping them out. People who are going through a battle with cancer and that, they've got this foundation that goes around and helps with lawns and things like that to take the pressure off the families and that. So that's what we're doing today, and it's an annual thing the two clubs do. So whoever's playing at home gets done on the pink top, and then we auction the jumpers off or the players buy them after the game, and yeah, all that money goes to the foundation.
So that's terrific.
So is the jumper all pink or just...
Yeah, so our blue hoops, they become pink.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so it's just pretty much changing the blue out for the pink to come in.
Oh. Yeah. Can you get someone down there to get a photo and send it to the Coulda Beans Twitter feed, at Coulda Beans? We'd like to have a look at that jumper.
Yeah, we can do that. We'll get the old boys under that.
Yeah, you get the old boys. You've got to concentrate on coaching. We wouldn't want you to get too busy with the photographs, Jonesy.
And yeah, I don't think the boys would be pretty impressive if I'm trying to take photos of Cincy while we're getting ready for the game.
No.
Yeah. And Gary, you might want to get a roof on that house of yours. It might cut the wind down a bit.
Yeah, I'm actually going to say it's not that bad today, considering normally it's pretty windy, but
yeah,
on a good day.
Anyway, it's good that you're actually playing today, because a lot of country footy and metro leagues got the weekend off because of the Victorian Community Championships are on today. A lot of major leagues playing. I know Colac District League, where I was last week, got the weekend off this week. I think North Central are playing Central Murray, and Geelong Footy League are playing Eastern Footy League. That's at Cadinia Park. But anyway, the North Gippy League, you got a representative game coming up at all, Jonesy?
No, we don't take part in that. I know the local leagues, the Mid-Gippy and the Alberton do. The North Gippy used to do it a few years ago, but they haven't done it for a while, so I'm not really sure of the reason. But yeah, it's got a good opportunity when the league does actually do it.
Well, if you want to see some club football as opposed to league, representative footy, all those roads lead to the Woodside Wildcats, and go down and support them against Hayfield. We've got to get a team up. You got a lot riding on this, Gary?
Yeah, well, hopefully we can break the curse for you. And if the curse continues, we might get you to ring a few of our opposition clubs going forward anyway.
That's a good idea. Well, good luck today. And anyone coming along can also support the Footprint Foundation as well, because that's part of your game against Hayfield Day. Thanks for being on the Cutter Beans, Gary.
Yeah, thanks for that, guys.
Good luck.
No worries. Best of luck, cuz.
We'll be going straight to the Country Footy League scores about 5 o'clock tonight to see how that's gone. Thank you to Gary there. Now, good time to ring for the quiz. It's coming up shortly. 1-300-222-774. 1-300-222-774. And indeed, our social media question. In the spirit of missing Buddy's goal last night because of the replay on the telly, what other sporting event or moment have you missed? And for whatever reason, you can go to @CutterBeans. That's the Twitter feed, or the Facebook is 774 Melbourne.
I miss Jack Anthony's mark because the crowd jumped up and obscured it.
Look, it's every kid's dream to kick a goal after the siren. Sam Lloyd did it last Saturday night for the Tigers against the Swannies. And back in 1980, it was a Swans player doing it against Geelong. It was John Roberts in round one, 1980. He joins us now. Good morning, John.
Good morning, fellas. Good to talk with you.
Oh, good to have you on. Although, as a Geelong supporter, I was there, and I've never got over it.
Yeah, well, it was my very first game, so it took me a while to get over it, so it was an amazing event, really.
Yeah, and because we talk about players who kick a goal with their first kick in league football, this is your last kick in your first game, and it's a goal after the siren. And you took a lovely mark, as I recall.
Yeah, I had to refresh my memory. I looked at the season that was highlights 1980 and just refreshed my memory. But, so I was running back with the flight of the ball and marked it probably a second before the siren. I remember I was on Sam Newman, so that was a big event. I think it was his last year.
Mm.
Yeah, so I've marked the ball, the siren's gone, and the crowd rushed onto the ground.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't take my kick, so the two police horses came out, and there was one on the mark.
Yeah. Police horses?
Two police horses out on the field, and the Swans players were cordoning me off. Mm. I was about 25 metres out, I suppose. And I wobbled it through, thank God.
Mm.
Wow.
And, we won. So very memorable, very memorable event indeed.
You debuted at 23 years of age, John, which isn't old for a footballer, but what had you been doing prior to, your early 20s in football?
Well, I was playing in Adelaide. I got recruited from Woodville. Mm-hmm. Won the best and fairest at Woodville in 79, and Barry Goodingham was coaching, and he'd played at South Melbourne, and I think he'd sort of dropped the hint that I might be a handy acquisition. So the Swans and the Saints were chasing me at the end of 79, and I sort of didn't want to leave, but the carrot was dangled at me that if I signed with the Swans, it was a pre-season trip to Bali. I've never been overseas, so I thought this is too good to be missed. So I signed with the Swannies, and off I went. And
the Saints were only offering you the Gold Coast, were they?
They didn't have a pre-season trip.
Oh, right. Probably Frankston.
Well, when you arrived, John, of course, not only you get the play for the Swans, you got number 10, which is probably the most famous full forward Guernsey at the Swans. Did you know about the history of the number?
Not really. I found out in the next round because I took a mark in the second round, and that was on the front page of all the papers with number 10 splashed on it, comparing me to Bob Pratt. So I soon found out about that history. And, he was a legend in his own time, that's for sure.
Yeah. How many years did you have at South?
3 years. We became the Sydney Swans in 82, so I was lucky enough too to be caught up with the forming in the Sydney Swans and playing up there, so that was another experience. Treasure.
Did you return to Adelaide after that?
Came back to Adelaide in 83, played under Blighty at Woodville, and ended up at my career at North Adelaide with a premiership in 87.
And were you still going for the speckies, Johnny?
Oh, I tended to stay on the ground a bit more as I got older. Mm. It's a bit painful when you hit the deck when you're a bit older.
You mentioned you won a best and fairest at before you came over.
Yeah.
Was that playing as a key forward?
No, I was a follower.
Oh, okay.
They don't have those anymore.
No, because I'm thinking that's a rarity for a forward to win any sort of medal, whether it's a best and fairest or indeed the whole league thing. So, but they played you mainly as a key forward at South.
Yeah, well, the plan apparently was that Tony Moore was to be the full forward and I was to be the stay-at-home tall in the forward pocket.
Mm.
And eventually I took over at full forward and Tony went out onto a half-forward flank.
Mm.
And got himself into the team of the century for the Swans, so that worked out well for him.
Yeah, indeed.
You had a fair year that first year. You played all 22 games and kicked 67 goals.
Wow.
Yeah, had a good first year and tapered off a bit the second year, and then the third year I tore a muscle in the foot of all places and slowed me right down. So, the first year was a good year. We had a pretty good side. We just couldn't quite manage our way into the top five.
Well, you'd just about win the Coleman medal kicking 67 goals in a year now.
Yeah, in this day and age you would, I reckon. You'd go close.
Hey, you mentioned you did go to Sydney in that very first year, and every time we have an ex-Sydney Swan on from that era, we have to ask the obligatory question, and is that, did you go to the party at Lady Fairfax's?
Yes, I did.
Your recollections, please.
Well, everyone's a bit scratchy, I think, but I do remember the swimming pool full of balloons and I think Max Cruz picked up the roast pig as we walked out and put it under his arm.
I haven't heard that one.
Yes, we're hobnobbing it with the high mighty of us.
Do you still get cards from Lady Fairfax?
Oh, of always. Yeah, every birthday and Christmas.
Who did they billet you out with when you lobbed up there? Were you sharing a house with any of your teammates or did you have your own?
No, I only played in 82. 83, they moved up there and lived up there. 82, we used to fly up. Every second Sunday, we'd fly up for the home game and then stay at King's Cross on the Sunday night and come back on the Monday.
Mm.
Right.
So kicked the year off at Lady Fairfax's and then ended up at King's Cross.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that was a wise move, having his house and the hotels at King's Cross. But anyway, we had a good time.
Oh, dear.
You really weren't a very big player for a full forward, but you relied a bit on your leap. But who were some of the full backs you came up against and who was the toughest one?
Oh, well, in 1980, I used to do well against North Melbourne. And then bloody David Dench came back from a knee injury in 81, and that slowed me down a bit.
Yeah.
You had Kelvin Moore from Hawthorne, Peter McCormack from Collingwood.
Gary Malarkey?
Was he there? Oh, well, I remember Sam Newman, the first one, but I can't remember if I played. I don't think I did.
Mm.
I remember playing on Southby, and then the second time we played Carlton, I was on Bruce Dool, and he was like a ball magnet. The ball would go to him, and you know I'd lead it, and it'd go to him. Anyway, this dog runs onto the ground, and they stop the game. So I call, I'm whistling the dog, and it wouldn't go near me, and Bruce Dool goes, the bloody thing ran straight up. So he's unbelievable, this bloke.
He can do anything, Bruce.
Yeah, unreal.
Do you attend the players or the past players' functions for South, do you?
I haven't been to one for a couple of years. Tony Moore came over with the supporters club a couple of years ago and we caught up then. Went to a reunion 4 or 5 years ago for the inaugural team over in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. But no, I haven't caught up. I caught up with Roundy, Barry Round, late last year, and Maxie James over in Adelaide. But other than that, been a bit probably too long, really.
Well, our own Torch McGee here, of course, he kicked a goal with his first kick in league football for South in the old days. And all. Have you had a drink with Johnny at the reunion,
Torchy?
No, we
haven't, but we are having a get-together, I think, for the St Kilda game down at Docklands later in the year, so maybe you can come over for that, John.
Oh, well, I better touch base with Roundy, see if he's going.
Yeah, and
sounds good.
Get on to Tony, he'll give you all the details.
Oh, okay, yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, and you can just spend the whole afternoon telling people how you took the mark and kicked the goal to win the game at Geelong by 1 point too, just like the other night.
They'll hear it again.
were you watching last Saturday night when Sam Lloyd kicked the goal after the siren for Richmond?
I was, and we had our syndicate had Richmond in the picking the four winners. So
there you go.
And
we weren't too upset that they won because we had the money on them.
Well, you knew what he was going through.
Yes, it's certainly nerve-wracking.
He didn't have any police horses.
No, police horses.
When you were watching, was there anyone around to whom you could say, I did that?
Oh, no, I couldn't because they'd all heard it so many times before.
Well, I was there that day. I was actually covering the game for the local paper, the Geelong Advertiser, and it was... You ruined what was going to be the perfect day for Geelong because it was Billy Goggins' first game as coach of Geelong. He'd come back like the prodigal son to coach Geelong, and I think they led all day.
They did. Yeah, I was going to say that they were just in front of us all day, just had our measure. You know, we'd had really good pre-season form and won all our practice games, but we just couldn't catch them. And then in that last 10 minutes, we made a surge, and then the ball came in and got the goal, and we got up.
Well, here we are. 36 years later, still talking about it, Johnny.
Yeah, don't remind me. 36 years ago, wow.
Well, it was great to watch you playing footy. Yeah, very exciting, John, and thanks for joining us today.
No worries. Look, I've got a quick cheerio if I can to Jamie Shelburne over in Melbourne.
Yep.
Good luck with your Kogi Iron Shares. I'm sure they're going to do well very soon.
Okay.
There you go.
Thanks, John.
Good on you, John. John Roberts there, who lived out every kid's dream, kicking a goal after a siren to win the game.
That must be a coded message, John.
Yeah, something to do with the share market, which we don't understand at all. So, as a Twitter from Tim Fox, who said he had number 10 on his Swans jumper as a lad at Lakeside, but I got a feeling that might have been passed down
from Praddy.
It's time for the quiz, Covey's quiz. I better get myself in order here. 1-300-222-774. We're ready to go with our first contestant. It's Sam in Camberwell. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning.
Oh, hello, young Sam. How old are you?
I'm 9 years old.
And Barrack 4?
Melbourne.
Good. Would you like to kick a stupid question? I bet you'd love to kick a goal after the siren to win a game.
Yes, I would.
Every kid's dream. Hey, who won last night?
Sydney.
Good. We'd like to give you a little loosener. There you go. That's well done. Now, I was watching last night. Jeremy Laidler was playing last night for Sydney. He played for two AFL clubs before Sydney. Can you name one of them?
Brisbane?
No, bad luck.
Sorry, Sam.
The commentators always mention it, and they didn't let us down last night. Connor is in Essendon North. Hi, Connor.
Hi.
How old are you?
I'm 10.
And Barrack 4?
Geelong.
Oh, yeah, good boy. You going to the footy today?
Yeah.
Terrific. I'll see you in the long room. No, I won't.
Right, make sure you dress properly.
Yeah. You got your RMs on?
Fun.
Oh, don't worry. Now, Jeremy Laidler, who did he play? He played for two clubs apart from Sydney. Can you name one of them? Carlton is right.
Very
yeah.
good.
And before that, you know, he played for Geelong.
No, he
did. Anyway, Connor.
Yeah.
Patrick Cripps plays for Carlton, and there's Jamie Cripps who plays for the West Coast Eagles. Can you tell me how they are related to each other?
I think they're cousins.
They are cousins.
Are they?
Well, not only do you think they're cousin, but someone else in the car does too.
Mm-hmm.
Getting a bit of help there.
Yes.
Now, Nathan Jones, he plays for Melbourne.
Yep.
And there's a Zach Jones who plays for the Swans. Can you tell me how they're related?
Brothers?
They're brothers indeed, are they? Yes. Oh. You're going well here. We're talking a minute ago about Sam Lloyd kicking the goal last week after the siren. I think that's why Richo's not here. He's just still celebrating.
On the Terps.
Can you tell us who kicked the ball to Sam Lloyd so he could kick the winning goal?
Brendan Goddard?
No, Brendan Goddard would have had to have actually got a clearance.
That's right.
Very quickly. Bad luck, but well played, Connor.
Thanks, Connor.
Let's go to Bernadette. Bernadette is on the Hume. Hello, Bernadette.
Hello, how are you?
Now, are you coming or going in relation to Melbourne?
I'm going to Melbourne.
For the footy?
Yes.
To Barrack 4?
Geelong.
Oh, Bernadette.
Travelling from?
Pardon?
Travelling from?
Travelling from Albury.
Oh, wow.
Okay, good trip.
Could have taken the train. There's an airport there. You could have flown in. Do you make the trip? Do you do it a fair bit to watch the footy?
Pretty regularly, yes. Okay. Travel a lot.
Terrific. Well, it's a 1:45 start, so don't be late.
Okay.
Who kicked the ball to Sam Lloyd last Saturday night?
I think it was Riewoldt.
No. Riewoldt kicked it to someone who kicked it to Sam Lloyd. So bad luck, Bernadette, but good luck for the catch, the Savo.
Okay.
Thanks, Bernadette. Travel safely. I think young Logan's rung in again. He's been with us in recent weeks. Hello, Logan.
Hi.
In Merboo North.
Hi.
Go, Logan.
How are you, Logan?
Good.
Now, do you know who kicked the ball to Sam Lloyd?
No.
Oh.
Have a guess.
I didn't think I'd have to give multiple choice. Everyone. A Richmond player. Did you know which one it was? I'll give you a clue. He wears a helmet. Maybe next time. Bad luck, Logan.
Sorry, Logan.
Ash is in Wang.
Wang.
Ash.
Good morning, boys.
Did you wave to Bernadette as she went past on her way down from Albury?
Well, I'm actually on the Hume myself. I'm heading down to watch the Ballarat League take on the Western League at the Witten Oval today as part of the Vic Country
Championships.
I'm a part of the Vic Country coaching group. So I've got to pick a few of the Ballarat boys for the Vic Country team under 90.
Oh, gee, you actually sound like you're doing the media coverage of the game there. It was brilliantly done, Ash. do you know who kicked the ball to Sam Lloyd?
Oh, geez, boys. I know he wears a helmet, but I have got no idea. Sorry, I was going to say Vickery, but it's not him.
No. Anyway, you just concentrate on the country players, Ash. Good on you. Let's go to Stephen in Sydney.
Sydney, indeed.
Hello, Stephen. How are you, Stephen?
Going all right.
Can you tell us who kicked the ball to Sam Lloyd?
Griffiths, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Ben Griffiths. There you go. People always forget the ones who set them up. Hey, I just have a look at the Collingwood team, seeing as they're playing Geelong today, and I noticed there's a boy there playing called Jonathan Marsh, who I'd never heard of, and apparently he played last year. He came from Western Australia. Did he play for East Frio, Subiaco or Claremont?
Let's try Subi.
And you'll be wrong. Bad luck.
Oh, sorry.
Bad luck, Stephen. Sharon is in Brisbane. We're going further up the East Coast. Ooh. Hello, Sharon.
Hi, how are you going?
Good. Jonathan Marsh. Did he play for East Frio or Claremont?
Claremont.
No.
Oh, no.
No, well, we love East Frio. That's Torchy's mob.
Sorry, Sharon.
Don't people know that 99% of Western Australians come from East Frio?
Edward is in Camberwell. Edward, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Hello, Edward. Can you confirm that Jonathan Marsh played for East Frio? Just say yes.
Yes.
Yes is correct. Well done. There's our winner. Well done, Edward. Coming up to the news. And after the news, we'll have a look at the social media question. And as well, we'll be joined by Taylor Harris and one of the trailblazers, Brian Dixon.
Dicko.
More Could Have Beens after the news. Surely they...